You're a real man to admit that. On behalf of Tammy and the kids, it's just a wonderful blessing to be here among friends and family and brothers and sisters. Thanks to the shepherds for this opportunity and this consideration and invitation to be here with you today. To the Holt family, you have my deepest sympathy. As you can imagine, it was exciting for us, as Peter had said, Tammy and I, this was the church that we first started. Benny Benjamin married us in 1997, and we started coming here and stayed through about 2005, and then went out into Big Bob Vocational Ministry and then full-time ministry, and it's been an incredible journey. But this church family, is so foundational in mine and Tammy's life, and we love you all. And I have to say, of all the people, I was looking forward to seeing so many, and especially was looking forward to seeing Lanny. I think of those times, Ray and Mike, that we were at Mike's house, those early morning studies with Bob Fugger and Clark Brandon, and Lanny was just always a blessing. You know, you knew, you saw his love for Jesus. He always had a word, he always had an insight, and he was always encouraging. He was somebody that you wanted to be around. And David and I have been talking, I guess, for a couple of months, David, when the invitation came. And, of course, I had a sermon planned. And when I found out of the sad news, and I say sad news, but it's also glorious news, because the Word of God says that the death of His saints is precious in His sight. And what an appropriate song, Tommy. Thank you for that. But when I found out that this had happened, it just seemed fitting to let the Holy Spirit lead in a way and prepare a word that would challenge you, as I believe all sermons should do, but hopefully also bring you comfort and hopefully also honor the life that Lanny lived out among us and among you. So we're going to talk, as you see, living a life pleasing to God. And I want you to think about that. Do you try to please yourself or please others more than God? Have you ever felt victim of that? I have. It's real easy to get caught up in all the things that are happening in the world today and do that. And the good news is you're not alone. If we really, truly were honest with each other, most all of us have fell victim to that. But I want to tell you that Jesus didn't live that way. Jesus had a focus. Jesus had a mission. And His mission was to live in complete obedience to the Father, His Father God, to bring glory to His life. And I charge you this morning that that should be our mission. Our mission should be the same as Jesus. Colossians 1:10 says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, look, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So in the time that we have together this morning, I want to submit to you five ways that we can live a life pleasing to God. And as we go through these, I'm sure that is so much in our hearts and minds, Lanny's legacy that he has left with us. Let us think of that and let us strive to live a life as he lived, as a life as many of you are living out and being those living sacrifices and examples to each other this morning. Number one, we must not live to please ourselves. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans 15 a lot. There'll be some other passages, but feel free to turn to Romans chapter 15. Verse 1 says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this." We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Such things were written long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. Galatians 1:10 from the Living Translation says, obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. Acts 5:29, but Peter and the apostles replied, we must, not we might or we if, but we must obey God rather than human authority. 1 Thessalonians 2, for we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our heart. John 12:43-46, for they loved human praise. Kind of a cautionary word here. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Jesus shouted to the crowds, if you trust me, you are really trusting God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. Can I say, when we saw Lanny, we saw Jesus. I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all that put their trust in me will no longer remain in the darkness. In Proverbs 16:7, when the ways of the people please the Lord, even he makes the enemies live at peace with them. Can you imagine that? I pray that you don't have many enemies, but when we seek to please God above everything else, God, in his providential care, can even make our enemies dwell in harmony with us. Secondly, we must learn to accept others just like Jesus has accepted us. In verse 5 of Romans 15, may God who gives us patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other, even with the attitude of Christ Jesus with each other. Then you can join again, as we read, and give in one voice and accept each other as Christ has accepted you. Our friend Justin created a Facebook page for Lanny, and I was moved by one lady's legacy and memorial. I'd like to share it with you. What a witness for Christ. I love hearing and reading the memories. I felt very welcomed into Lanny's group going to Outcry in Nashville. My friend Julie introduced me, and I love how they made sure I wasn't left out. Listen to this. I don't attend the Church of Christ, but that never matters because they included me as part of Christ. Think about that. I don't attend the Church of Christ, but they included me as part of Christ. A very sweet image of the body of Christ. My prayers to Lanny's family, and we will see you again. See, Jesus accepts us. And Jesus expects us to accept others. Galatians 3:26, so you all are children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. All that have been united with Christ in baptism have been made like him. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you all are Christians. You all are one in Christ. See, Lanny got that. When people saw Lanny, they didn't see a denomination or a brotherhood or a church. They saw Jesus. They saw love unconditional. They saw someone who loved God and lived out that command and then loved others as well. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. And we all have received the same Spirit. Colossians 3:11. In this new life, the new life that you and I put on when we said yes to Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, for Christ is all that matters. It's all about Jesus. It always has been. It always will be. And when we see, Lanny got that too. See, Lanny just didn't focus on church, and although he was a part of a great church, Lanny saw the kingdom. And the kingdom's a really big place where we can live out the love and the mercy and the grace and the truth that lived in Christ. Number three, we need to live as servants to God and not servants to men. Romans 15:8, remember that Christ himself came as a servant to the Jews, to show that God is true to the promises that He made to the ancestors. Of all the ways that Jesus could have come to this earth, He could have been born in a palace. He could have came and knocked off all the kings of earth. But He chose to come and be born in the most humble and lowly of circumstances, and to take out and live servanthood, even challenging His own disciples and us today, saying that if you want to be great, then be a servant to all. The way up is down in Jesus' teachings, being a humble, caring servant of God. 1 Peter 2 continues the thought, 16, you are not slaves or you are not servants, you are free. But your freedom, because we're free, is not an excuse to do evil. Listen at how we're free. We're free to live as God's slaves or God's servant. The only thing in this world that you should be a slave to is Jesus Christ. It's to God Almighty. And to serve Him with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Show respect for everyone. Who does that sound like? Love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and show respect to the King. In Colossians 3:24, a great promise. Remember, the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. Lanny has now claimed that inheritance. The Word also says that we're even given a guarantee. The Holy Spirit that comes into us when we become believers is a guarantee of that inheritance to come. And I say we should look forward to that time and bring God's glory down to the world around us. Number four, we must live in mercy. Must live in mercy in order to give glory to God. Verse 9, and He came to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles might also give glory to God for His mercies. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, I will praise You among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to Your name. In Micah 6:8, know, O people, the Lord has told you what's good. This is what He requires. If you ever wanted to know what God wants, Micah 6:8 has one of the answers. To do what is right. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. I think our brother did that. Love doing what was right. Love being merciful to everyone that he could extend mercy to. And showing, you know, one of my favorite portraits of Jesus in Scripture is when it said He was full of grace and truth. And I love it when we strive as followers of Jesus to fill our own lives up to where the world sees us full of grace and full of truth. And last, number five, we must live with God as the source of our hope, and be filled with joy and peace and overflow with the Holy Spirit. What does that bring to mind? Romans 15, 13 and 14 says, so that I pray God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you're able to teach others all about them. I love the story that was told to me that Lanny was teaching on the day of the Lord, both the day with a capital D and the day that we all will have one day. To his last moments, Lanny was teaching others all about them. See, it's the grace of this miraculous and amazing gospel that calls us as Christians to personal holiness. It calls us as followers to mutual service. It calls us to good citizenship and to be wholeheartedly neighborly and loving in each other and sharing the love that we have in Jesus Christ. Beloved, you and I, like Lanny, are called as followers of Jesus to leave a legacy of grace and truth, a legacy of love and mercy, a legacy to show glory to our Father in heaven. We're called to live a life that is most pleasing to God. And I am convinced if we would take up that calling, and live holy, upright lives, pleasing to God, that those around us in our circles that we have influence and impact on would take notice. They would be attracted to this gospel that has transformed us and led us to be what God's purposed and called us to be. John wrote this in 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way he walked. It's an interesting word, abides. It means to take up residence. It means to live in. Just to be completely all the time. You were blessed to have such an amazing example. Live that out in front of you. Abiding in Him. You have many more examples. Living the same life that God calls us to live. To do that scripture. Abiding in Him and walking in the same way that Jesus walked. So the question for you this morning is this. Are you living a life that is pleasing to God? How is your walk of faith this morning? Are you influencing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you showing love, unconditional love, mercy, grace, true forgiveness, as Jesus and our brother lived out in front of you? Let's pray together. Our Father God, You know our hearts are heavy. But Father, we do rejoice in the coming home of one of Your saints that You placed among us in our time in this generation to give us a little better glimpse of Jesus, to see His characteristics, to see His actions, and to be inspired by them. Father, I'm thankful for Lanny Holt this morning and what he meant to me and so many others. Father, our heavy hearts pray. God, I pray to You as the God of peace, as You're proclaimed in Romans. God, I pray for the Comforter to come in this time and comfort the hearts that are grieving. But Jesus, I take great strength in Your word that said, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted." The time will come. And Father, I also know that this loving family of so many years will wrap themselves around the Holt family. Pray for Lori, and I pray for the kids. And God, I pray if there's any one of us here, Father, we could all strive so much harder. Let us take the life that was lived out before us in Lanny and in Jesus and many others. And Father, let us make it a priority. Let us put the world behind us. As the Scriptures say, let us lay aside everything that hinders or entangles us from becoming who You want us to become. And at the end of the race, as Paul says, let it be said that we lived a life pleasing to God. Through Jesus I pray. Amen.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Live to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He
Close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just are still grieving. We're still hurting for the loss of our brother. Be with the family, the whole family, and comfort them. We know that they've been busy so far and been able to sustain. We know that as time goes on and the busyness slows, that the hurt will continue. Be with them at that time. Be with us and help us to offer and do and give of ourselves as we can to help them. We thank you for Mark and his lesson. We pray that we will live a life pleasing to you in every way. Again, we thank you so much for our blessings, and we pray for those that are hurting with losses, with diseases, with so much of in this congregation and in this community. Again, thank you. Thank you most for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.